Hey folks, Tim Miller here. And again, I want to be careful, but I think we all would agree that things are changing very quickly in the US, that things that we never thought we'd have to worry about, we're now having to face squarely. And one of those things is caring for our elderly. There was a time where our elderly were respected, they were protected. Nobody would watch an elderly person being assaulted or attacked without jumping in and helping. And unfortunately, we're seeing more and more incidents of that just not happening. And so I'm honored, thrilled, and excited that I got the team with my buddy Matt Pasqualini. Matt's a fellow Marine, former Marine, who really, I think, started training in the martial arts, I think when he was a kid, 7 or 8 years old, and obviously through the years has just developed incredible skill in teaching people how to protect themselves. Well, one of the things we just did together was a video that's entitled Five Tips for How Elderly People. Their self-defense tips for how elderly people can protect themselves. Folks, I really think it's worth taking a listen and a view to. I think we all need to be prepared and wise. Again, not fearful ever, because fear robs you of strength, takes away your joy, whereas being prepared and wise and alert, those are things that help keep you and your family safe. So, hey, jump in, take a listen to this video. You'll find Matt very, very helpful. And by the way, when you watch the video, jump over to his channel. He gives you really simple tips that no matter what age you are, you can use to defend yourself. And I hope and pray that all of you take a look at it. Just Google, or not Google, Matt's on YouTube. I used to be able to talk. Matt's on YouTube and Matt Pasqualini, and find his channel and jump in, because I'll guarantee you little simple things can make all the difference in the middle of a
five self-defense tips for seniors and the elderly. And my guest is Tim Miller, who is an expert in safety and security, and he's got his finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world right now. And we were talking before, and you said something that's just resonated, and I can't get it out of my head. And you said, the storm isn't coming. The storm's not brewing. The storm is here. And I wanted to talk about that as we go into these five tips. So before we start with the five tips, can you give us maybe just an update? I've been seeing things. We were talking about some things that I've seen recently, and you've told me a whole bunch of things that I didn't even know that weren't on my radar that just shake that alarm bell even more. So if you want to lead off with a little bit of what you're seeing and what you're hearing from your expert sources, a little bit about yourself, but I think, you know, most people know who you are.
Yeah, Matt, first, it's an honor to join you. Thank you for what you're doing, because you're making a huge difference. And, you know, the storm is here. You know, I learned in my career in the Secret Service as a Marine, as a police officer through the years, there are certain warning indicators that always kind of give you alert and alarm bells. Well, I tell you, even the FBI director is saying, you know, red lights flashing, because of what's already here and what's coming. And I think you and I were talking before about just the influx of people that, you know, 5 years ago weren't in the country, largely because of border policies. But we're seeing this mass immigration. And unfortunately, many of those folks are organized criminals. We know that. We know that they're coming from jail cells in other countries. They're coming as gang members. They're coming as highly skilled criminals. And we're certainly seeing that all over the country. We're seeing neighborhoods targeted in Los Angeles and Seattle, high-end neighborhoods in Miami. We're seeing organized criminal elements going into homes, defeating security systems. We're also seeing this rise and influx of violence on the street. And, you know, I like to point out every time I talk to you or anyone else, you know, I know we're on the same page. It's not about fear. But folks, if we're not wise and prepared, oh, by the way, and skilled, we're not going to be ready, because you know, in South Florida, we're used to preparing for the Cat 5 storms. We know that the Cat 5 storm can take everything right down to the foundation. Well, guess what? That's exactly what's happening in our country. And as this continues, it's likely going to get worse. So our passion, and I appreciate you, Matt, because you're down, you're teaching people the very basic things that they must know, especially as it relates to the elderly, because we are seeing an increase, an uptick in crimes against the elderly. Why? Because, you know, I've shared this before, but I've arrested, you know, 1,000 people or more. Not one of them said I picked a victim because they were look like they're in shape. It's always the opposite. I pick the victim because they look like easy prey. And so that's where I'm excited to join you today. And I think what you do, if people will listen, pay attention, and then go, okay, it's great to know it, but I got to do it. I've got to put this into practice today. I love how you walk them through it. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate your being here. One of the things that I saw recently, a couple of things that just made me want to reach out to you and have another one of these sessions together, is this idea that all of these migrants are being pushed to cities where there's no resources for them. They're almost being lied to be brought in. They're being promised something. And then when they get here, it's not materializing. So even if they're not those organized criminals, and there are gang members, there are organized crime groups who are experienced, that have been, you know, pushed out of those jails and pushed north by those countries, you know, south of us. But it's also just a whole bunch of young people. Not all of them have families, but, you know, anybody can understand, if you're a father and you've got to feed your child or your wife and your family, take care of yourself, and you've been lied to, and they said, come here, it's going to be easy. And then all of a sudden there's no work, there's no jobs. They give you a bunch of free stuff at the beginning, and then it's all taken away from you. After a while, those people are going to either panic or get angry, or they're going to smash. It's just, and you can see it's everywhere. It's millions of people now, and it's spread all throughout all of our communities. So that was the one thing that's really alarming, is that we're now, it seems like now it's escalating, maybe because it's winter and it's cold in a lot of these cities. But you see video after video of migrants who are angry, and they're saying, I'm angry. Or, you know, what do you want us to die? Do you want us? And so they're saying the words that should be, you know, sounding the alarm bells. And if you live in one of these communities, and it's all of our communities, you know, that's one massive piece. You take and you add to that another massive piece, which is some of these no cash bail cities, and now a whole state of Illinois is no cash bail. And you have this leniency against crime, and then you have an explosion of the fentanyl and meth coming through because the borders are wide open. And then you have desperate people who are living on the street who need a fix, and they're coming after you to get what they need. I mean, it's just everywhere. And we're seeing then just the mentally ill, because they're not being taken care of. There was a guy with a tube pipe in each hand. He hit one lady, was pushing a stroller with a baby in it, found another victim, an older woman, ran up behind her, smashed her in the head. They still haven't found that guy. And I mean, within the last couple of days. And I know, and you can get consumed by all of these negative stories. And it's like you said, it's not about panicking. It's about preparing. And again, the storm is here. Are you prepared? And if not, then what do you have to do? So the first tip of the five tips for seniors and elderly for self-defense is situational awareness. We always start with situational awareness. And again, I'm going to defer to you as the expert on why that's so important.
Well, you know, Matt, I'm not an expert. You're an expert in many areas. I love that we can talk through, because if you think of the one thing we learned in the Secret Service was you have to see it first. Because if you see it first, it's your plan that's being played out, not the bad guy's plan. Remember, the bad guy's plan is to dominate you, to victimize you, and he wants to do it as quickly as possible. You've heard the old term shock and awe. That's the focus. And being situationally aware, which, by the way, is a practical skill, and I think one of your viewers commented the head on the swivel thing. That's really true. If you train your mind is a wonderful thing. If you train your mind to notice things you normally wouldn't notice, then you are the one ahead of the curve. You are the one with the plan. And the plan may be very simple. If you're older, or if you feel like, hey, I'm not, you know, SEAL Team 6, then you drive away. But for you to drive away, you have to see it. And that's where I always encourage every organization I train, every person I talk to, the best question you can do for your security is to ask yourself, wow, what would I do if? Because if you're asking yourself, you pull up to a gas station, maybe it's late at night, and I want you to picture this. You know, there's someone standing off to the side. He's obviously not doing anything that normal people would do. Maybe he appears to be watching. The question we must ask is, what would I do if that happened? Because the good news is, as you begin to record those scenarios into your brain, no matter how old you are, you're creating a response plan that can go into effect immediately. So situational awareness, without it, I don't care. You could be the most skilled person in the world, but if you're playing reaction in a confrontation situation, it's not a good place to start, Matt. And you're way more qualified to talk about that. But we were trained in the Secret Service that fights need to stop exceptionally quickly. That you can't, this is not about a 10-round boxing match here. You got to be able to respond with skill. You got to debilitate the attacker's, you know, abilities, and then move on.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about that in one of the tips, but where we call immediate, yeah, direct, and explosive, where, yeah, I've trained with personal protection details, private security, bodyguards, and the training is so vicious and so fast. And it's as immediate and as direct and as explosive as you, putting the person on the ground as hard and as fast as you can. And there's still things you can do as a senior and as we get older that allow you to do that. But the second tip that I wanted to talk about are the five tips for self-defense if you're senior or elderly is personal fitness. And this might sound cliche, but it's very important. And I feel, because I'm getting older and, you know, both of my hips, I need to have hip replacement surgery. I'm going to finally bite the bullet. I'm going to do one first and then a little while later do the other one. And it's because I'm in so much pain sometimes that I don't feel like I could effectively defend myself or my family. And so having self-awareness on your personal fitness is very important. So whether it's a condition like that, or, you know, you just haven't been active in a long time and you found that your body has gotten out of shape, you know, there's some simple things that you can do to start to get back into shape. What are some of the things that you do? Because I know you stay in shape, and a lot of the people that you work with, all professionals, take personal fitness really, you know, seriously as a part of self-defense.
Yeah, I think we both would agree. As you grow older, it gets more difficult. I try to go 6 days a week. You know, I'm not trying to be what I used to be in terms of lifting. I always try to mix cardio and some kind of weight training. But now more and more, I'm doing more stretching and trying to maintain that flexibility. Because remember, too, that the motions that you train, you know, even the strikes, that you can practice those. You know, it's great if you have a bag to hit. It's great. And I know you're the expert at training that. But those motions themselves, the keeping active, and most importantly, having the mental discipline to say, and this is where I battle, you know, hey, it's not I want to, it's I have to. I don't have an option of not going to the gym anymore, because the reality of all of our bodies, they're slowing down. But like you just said, brother, I can't believe you have to have surgery at what are you, 35 now?
36? Yeah.
But I'll tell you, if game day, you know, we knew this as Marines, you know, the reason the Marine Corps, you remember, they were never nice about you being in shape, because God forbid, if you're in that crisis, your level of physical fitness is going to likely determine the outcome, because you're going to be overwhelmed by so many other things. And I always encourage folks, wherever I go, no condemnation here. You may say, well, I haven't done that for years. Great. Today's the day. You're going to start. You're going to walk. you're going to get online. There's so many different exercises now you can find on the internet. Chair exercises, I think they call them. But whatever you do, stretch, start working out. And the cool part, too, is you're going to find that as you're working out, Matt, you and I can attest to this, it cleans your brain. It literally causes your thinking to get sharper, which if you think about split seconds in a confrontation, you need a brain that's fully capable of processing and doing what needs to be done.
Absolutely. And back to the thing you said about being a Marine and the reason it's so important to stay fit, it's not just your life on the line. You get out of shape, you don't, you know, hone your skills, you drop the ball, and you're in the foxhole with me. I'm kicking you out of the foxhole. I don't want you in the foxhole. I mean, that's a real thing. We all talk about that. But it's more, you know, now you're talking about family. You know, how can I protect my wife? How can I protect my grandkids? How can I protect my son, my daughter? How can I protect the kids? You know, I'm responsible for 401 children every single day at a Christian school here in Florida. And yesterday, I think I was telling you before we got started, we thought something was happening. And my security team, led by me, took off sprinting and covered every inch of campus as fast as we could. Now, I paid for it last night, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to do that. You know, so I've answered that question. When the adrenaline kicks in, I can still sprint. But the point is, you don't have to be able to do the things, like you said, at the level that you were when you're 19, 20, 30, but start from where you are, start immediately. And I think, you know, one of the things that, is very important to me is lateral movement, moving to the side. And, you know, as well as I do, we have a lot of peers, even in my age group and your age group, who fall. They're terrified of falling and breaking a hip. And they have these little dogs running around, especially here in Florida. And they're either tripping over a dog or a baby. And that's when they get injured. And then they start to do the shuffle. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So much of fitness is in here, too. And it's just refusing to give up, refusing to quit. I mean, what's your alternative? Watching television 8, 9, 10 hours a day, or surfing the net, or consuming negative news stories? You know, you could do that, but get up and walk in place if you have to. You know, I have my canes. I carry these canes with me everywhere. This is a self-defense cane, but, you know, this is one of the best fitness devices. You can unweight your body. And if you don't have the mobility that you had when you were younger, you can still start to improve it. And I guarantee you, because I've done this over and over with hundreds of students my age and older, when they start doing a little bit, it accumulates, it compounds like interest. And time's going to go by anyway. A year from now, you know, you're going to be a year older. A year's going to pass no matter what you do to try to stop it. And if you do a little bit of time, in a year from now, all that fitness will compound, because next month you're more fit than you were this month, and you'll do a little bit more. And I always say, be an underachiever when it comes to fitness. So instead of saying, I'm going to get up and do 1,000 pushups tomorrow, I'm going to do 1,000 sit-ups, I'm going to do 400 pull-ups. Say I'm going to do 5 pushups. I'm going to do 5, you know, or I'm going to and do them on the edge of the counter while you're making your breakfast. I'm going to do 5. And then if you do 10, you've exceeded it. And then in the Army, because I was also in the National Guard in the Army, they have a saying, crawl, walk, run, right? Mm-hmm. And that's start where you are, crawl. You have to crawl, crawl until you can stand up and then walk. Right. Eventually, you might not be a sprinter, but you might have a pretty good shuffle, right? Shuffle.
Yeah.
And at least you're moving and you can crawl, walk, run, whatever it is, but don't give up. It's, you know, so much of fitness is mental. So much of everything is mental. We know that, you know, they say self-defense is 90% mental. It's not. It's 99% physical, and your heart's going to be racing, and you better know how to fight. And it's 1%, but the, you know, preparation for it is 90%. It's that mentality, not giving up, not quitting. The third.
Can I add something into real quick?
Please do.
Yeah, it just came to mind. So my wife is 65, and she has hereditary bone issues, osteopenia. And when she found out that she had osteopenia a couple years ago, she's always been very active, very careful what she eats. But she just said, no. I'm not going to let that, because your fear of, you know, talk about her fear of falling and breaking a hip and all that. Well, you know, she joined a Y, which has a very deliberate training program, and she's been doing that for 18 months now, and she is a beast physically. I mean, she's really, and she was never a lifter, never had any desire to do anything like that, loved to walk, but that was it. Well, she just went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, you don't have osteopenia anymore. that you've so strengthened all of your core and your upper body and your bones that it, so there's the medical aspect too. We certainly want to talk about the physical in terms of defense tactics, but there's also the medical. I wonder how many things that, you know, many people would not struggle with. I'm sorry, that just popped in, but I was thinking, man, that's a great incentive right there.
Right.
No, that, I mean, that is so important because that's the life that I've lived for the last 30 plus years teaching martial arts, starting with kids and adults. And I've had kids who were had dwarfism. I've had kids all over the autism, kids and adults all over the autism spectrum, hundreds of students. I've had kids with cerebral palsy. The doctor said they'll never walk. They'll never get this, you know, taller than this. That's where they are. You know, kids with cochlear implants because they were misdiagnosed because they couldn't pay attention. Glasses this thick that when they went back to the doctor said, you've got better than 20/20 vision because so much changes. And exercise is like miracle growth for the brain. And I didn't come up with that. That comes out of a book called Spark by a Harvard professor. And, you know, he says there are four types of exercise that improve focus and make your brain grow. And he said, you know, the first is if it's vigorous. The second is if you do it in a focused way. And the third is if you do it with a lot of oxygen, you're breathing, deeper breathing. So good. Mm-hmm. And I teach a lot of breathing. But the fourth one is if it's a little bit out of your comfort zone. And when it gets to that point where you do something that's a little bit out of your comfort zone, that's when you create the most new brain stem cells in the brain that can go and heal the body, right? Wow. Now you don't have the disease you thought you had, but it also changes. And so I've seen over and over hundreds and hundreds of times, you know, and we have studies too, because I ran a nonprofit for a long time, but we anecdotally, all these stories of kids and adults where everybody around them said, you can't do this. She can't do that. He won't be able to do that. And I said, I don't know. And you don't know. And please don't tell him, but only God knows. And so let's just act like maybe he can. We don't know.
That's right.
So get out of his way. I'm going to get out of his way. I'm just going to show him what to do. I'm going to help lift him up every time he falls down, and he's going to fall down 1,000 times. But I guarantee you, every time he gets up, he's a little bit stronger. And that's true no matter what age you are. And that never stops. You can be over 100 years old and you're still getting stronger. You're still getting better if you don't quit.
Great word.
So tools. Number three of the five tips for seniors, for self-defense, seniors and elderly, is tools. I'm going to talk about the number one self-defense tool everybody likes to talk about. But I want to caveat real quick and say, if you live in a country with a Second Amendment or something like that, we can talk about concealed carry, right? And some states are now constitutional carry and more people can carry, but a lot of people still don't carry. But that's very important. That's something that I know you teach in the courses that you have. I teach weapon retention. So I teach concealed carriers how to not get it taken out of their hand as they're drawing. And I think that's really important. I think people should learn how to do that. But
that's right.
Talk about just how valuable having a little bit of knowledge using a self-defense tool like a handgun or a rifle is.
Well, obviously,
it's available to you. And I know it's not available to most people around the world.
Yeah. Obviously, you can't win a gunfight, traditionally without a gun. But
people love to say that in my comments. They say, you're going to take a cane to a gunfight. And I say, well, no, that's not the point. No, well, I understand that, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But I do think, you know, folks have this idea that, wow, I have a gun, therefore I'm safe. Which couldn't be further from the truth, because just like Matt, the expertise, I would not want to be on the other side of you with that cane. Well, why? Because you've taken a tool and you have trained with it and you become proficient with it to where when you need it, it's an automatic thing. You and I learned that as Marines with a rifle. That's why they train so hard. Well, the same holds true with a handgun, especially that, you know, some folks buy a handgun, they put it in their purse, they put it in their glove box. Okay, I'm good. Well, I got to tell you, you're not good, because the actual use of that tool, whatever tool it is, depends on your ability to commit to living a different lifestyle because of that tool. And let's pause there. I'm talking about a gun, but I could be talking about a cane. If you don't have a cane with you, if you haven't trained with the cane, if you're not prepared mentally to use the cane, then the cane may or may not be a friend to use. Matter of fact, just like a handgun, it could be taken and used against you. So I always challenge folks, in our training, we really stress that carrying a weapon is a lifetime commitment. And everybody gets wrapped up in, we do offer, I think the best firearms training available, taught by, SF guys and Delta guys and all that. And certainly I've been a firearms instructor, so I'm a big fan of getting good instruction. But at the end of the day, it really backs up to, hey, am I willing to learn the fundamentals well? Because pick a sport, pick anything. If you don't know the fundamentals well, you don't tend to build on them well. But then for firearms users, I always recommend you need to be holding that weapon dry fire, meaning a completely safe, purely clean weapon that you're actually practicing those drills. You have ammo in the other room. It's not even close. But you're practicing all the mechanisms that you're going to need in a crisis. And then you're developing, going back to that what if mindset, what would I do if? So you're not just going through the mechanics, you're picturing scenarios. You're training your mind to work through them under stress. And folks, if you begin to do that, and you begin to really take that tool, I love, Matt, how you lay it out, because a tool can be a lot of things, but if the tool happens to be a firearm, you better be very confident in your understanding of the law. You read the law. You understand in Florida, we've got great laws, use of force and stand your ground laws, but you need to understand them. Then you need to identify what are the facts in front of me that would enable me to use a tool. And, a lot of folks back in the day would train, well, I was in fear for my life. Well, that's fine, but that's not a cause for you to use a weapon to possibly take someone's life. Facts are what matter. Facts like, hey, he pulled a gun or he pulled a knife and said he was going to stab me or kill me or whatever. He threatened my family. All of those things are facts which you will need. And so you need to know the law, you need to know the facts, and then you need to know what reasonable force is. What force can we use and when must it stop? And that's what I appreciate, Matt. We're just trying to equip people to understand that it's way more than just doing some exercises or having tools. It's all about preparing yourself to become a protector. And by the way, I don't care how old you are. I often get the comment, well, I'm too old for that. Well, you've told yourself you're too old for that. The reality is, no, you're not. From wherever you are right now, you can make decisions to start doing things to become more of a protector.
Absolutely. I mean, that age piece is so important because, and you said it, the words that you're constantly saying to yourself over and over and over again are what are going to determine the outcome of your life, right? And we know that in every situation, but it becomes more important when your body starts to break down, you start to feel your age, you're sore longer. I mean, it'll be all the things, right? We don't even have to go through all the things. As we get older, we know what we feel. But you also can start to focus on what you still have, right? And that's true with everything. If you're always thinking about everything you've lost, everything you don't have, and comparing yourself to what other people have, you're going to be miserable and you're going to act like it. You're going to walk like it. You're going to hunch at the shoulders. You're going to look at your feet. You're going to shuffle. You're going to clench your arms close to your body. And you're going to put a flag straight up in the air that says, I'm the victim. Pick me, pick me. Just like you said at the beginning, you don't want to be that victim. But if you tell yourself, I can still stand. And if you can't stand, I can still sit up straight. I can still look around. I can still have these faculties. I still can do this. All the things that you can still do because you're still here. God woke you up this morning and he said, that's right. I'm not done yet. You're not ready to come home. You got another that's day. Right. So make the best of it. And if you take that approach and your shoulders are back and your chin is up and you're seeing, your eyes are level with the horizon. So you see what's happening as it's happening. You have situational awareness. Then that flag goes down and the other one goes up, which says, don't pick me. And as we talk, because we're both security professionals and I'm doing my security daily at a school. You're teaching it all over the country and around the world at all different levels, businesses, churches, schools. But what you told me and what I learned from you from the very first time we spoke was our goal is to deter. It's to have the presence that says don't, you know, this is not the place for me to attack. If I'm the bad guy, if I'm the, you know, the terrorist or the mentally ill kid who wants to come and shoot up the school, they're not going to pick this one because they're going to see five armed security guards constantly roaming in visible, you know, areas with all of the proper gear that says I'm ready. So, you know, go somewhere else, go down this. And I hate to think that they would go down the street or somewhere else, but that is so important. And that's the same concept that we as individuals, especially as we get older, you don't have to assume the posture of broken and the posture of weak and the posture of feeling sorry for yourself, for lack of a better word, because that's all it is. You're just wallowing in your own self-pity. So, you know, pull up your big boy pants or your big girl pants, suck in your gut, take a deep breath and move, you know, and move however you can move. If it's in a chair, move in a chair, but move your body and, you know, start to practice with the tools, whether it's the gun, like we talked about, the cane that I like to teach. I love a flashlight, and for obvious reasons, especially in the middle of the night. And then you have a nice, you know, loaded fist if you have to defend yourself in law enforcement. You know, that's, you know, used to be the mag light. I'm sure you had a mag light at some point with the big, you know, D cell batteries that weighed about 50 pounds. And you come up and the first thing you do when you approach the window is you blind them so that if they have any ill intention, they changes their mind. And it's also ready for self-defense. But I mean, just simple things like that. And so I wanted to keep moving. We've talked about the three out of the five self-defense tips for seniors and elderly. And number four are the principles of self-defense. And this is something that I think a lot of people miss and don't understand or don't cover correctly. And it's this idea that techniques are not as valuable as the principles. It's like strategy or tactics, right? Tactics are important in the event, but the overall strategy is what is the most important. So what's my strategy? What are my principles of self-defense? And we start with situational awareness. Number two, with what I teach, is always getting in a better position, put my hands between the threat and myself, interrupt his line of sight so he can't, you know, he can't see my face. He's not going to throw a straight punch. If I have to flinch, I'll flinch into a protected position. And then I'm going to use violence against violence. I'm going to stop him with violence. So the principle of self-defense, what can I remove or destroy? And this comes from Tim Larkin's book, When Violence is the Answer. And by the way, I put links to the cane and some of the other training tools and Tim Larkin's book, which I find, I don't know if you've read it, but it's one of the most important books in self-defense that I've read. And he covers this idea really well, where, you know, you don't have to go toe-to-toe in a boxing match or in a grappling match or in a wrestling match. It doesn't matter how much bigger and stronger and younger and faster he is, how much more training he has, because his throat is going to collapse under the same amount of pressure that yours is. His eye is going to come out of his face under the same amount of pressure that your eye will come out, right? You're going to rip his, whatever it is for self-defense that you have to do, you're able to use what you have as an older person. You are still strong enough to use that idea of violence. But if you don't think of it in those terms and you just think, well, you know, he outweighs me by 50 pounds or 100 pounds, he's much younger, he's more agile, he's strong and muscular, or he's wiry and muscular, wiry and fit, you know, he's faster than me, there are two or three of them, and you start to compare yourself in terms of the match, right, the competition, the fight, then you've already lost. But if you see it in different terms, what can you remove or destroy? His ability to breathe temporarily or permanently, his ability to see or his ability to hear or his ability to have his balance because you popped his ears and he loses his inner ear. You know, the joints break easier than the bones. So if you did have a self-defense tool like this and you were able to strike and smash into an elbow where you're using two hands kind of like a rifle butt strike or a bayonet attack, or you smash through his face, then you've leveled the playing field, so to speak. So the fourth tool or the fourth concept is this idea of principles of self-defense. And I know, you know, as a Secret Service Marine, and then as a security expert for many, many years, you must have some of these principles that you live by and that you teach. What are some of the principles that we could maybe add to that list, or one of those principles that makes the most sense that you would kind of highlight?
You know, I think you just summed it up, you know, perfectly. The fight one starts before the fight begun. And that really is so important, that all the things you perfectly tie together. By the way, that was an excellent layout, because I think if you think about what we've talked about, physical fitness, emotional health, and situational awareness and all that, that puts you in the position. That's before anything ever starts. That puts you in the position to make that strike, to be in the position mentally, physically, emotionally, to do what has to be done. And that's the thing, you know, when we're training folks, it's like there is no fair fight, you know, in this situation. It's not like the old days where we're gonna box it out. No. This is about survival. This is about making sure, like you just said, brother, that, you know, the vital ability of the enemy to attack you is taken away. And there are a lot of ways you can do that. There are certain areas where you and I know, and you train them, teach them way better than I do. But if you strike a certain area, it doesn't matter if you're 6'4" and 250 pounds of steel, or, you know, you're 5'1". If you hit that area, you hit it well, you hit it with the right amount of force, boom. That's the game.
Straight down. Oh, yeah.
Yep. And I think for many, and I think especially as you grow older, you believe, and you touched on this, I just want to cap it home because I think it's so important, that many believe, oh, I can't. Well, guess what? If you say I can or you say I can't, you're right.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. Because I teach this every day. When I hear that, it just comes out of me naturally, almost aggressively. You can say I can't if you add the word yet at the end of it, right? So I can't yet. Yeah, you're right. You can't yet, but you will.
Yeah.
Because you won't quit. You won't give up. You're going to keep driving forward. And it might take you forever, but don't quit. So if you feel like you've got to say, I can't do this, I can't afford that. I mean, I don't like any of those limiting words. I can't yet. I like to have it, as many things as we can do. But I think, you know, that the principles of self-defense are so important, because as we started this conversation, we talked about the environment that we now find ourselves in that we didn't have 4 years ago plus, right? Where we have this open border, massive numbers of people coming in. And I think I started with a story with you before we went live, where my wife and I used to go down to Guatemala. And when we would go there, because the people that we were with, we had intense security. We had very well-armed security, armored cars, all that stuff, anywhere we went. And it was because at that time in Guatemala, especially in the cities, the narco gangs were just wreaking havoc. They were just, you know, wiping people out, taking what they had. And so if you didn't do that, you were going to be a victim. And so, you know, everywhere you go to the 7-Eleven, and there would be guards with shotguns and handguns on their side. If you went to, you know, there were very little Western stores there. Now it's homogenized and it's a little bit different. But those gangs, my point is, that type of crazy criminality, that viciousness that exists in a lot of those third world nations has been exported and imported here to our cities. And we now have the types of criminals that are going to use a level of violence that a lot of people aren't used to. And so when we talk about principles of self-defense, and we talk about that principle of what can you remove or destroy, and shifting your mindset from techniques to this idea that you're going to use violence against violence. He is perpetrating violence against you. His goal is to hurt you, to steal your life, your dignity. Then what are you going to take away from him before he gets a chance to do that?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's why it's so important.
Yeah. And let me chime in too. You know, we've been focusing on criminals, which it's appropriate. Now we have a new big time threat to us, and that's terrorism. We are now facing a generation in the U.S. that's going to have to deal with consistent and unfortunately very dangerous terrorist attacks. Again, the FBI, you know, after 9/11, I was part of the FBI's effort to chase down terrorists, was part of the National Joint Terrorism Task Force. And it was shocking to me at that time how many ingrained terrorists were living amongst us, obviously the 9/11 hijackers included, were prepared, planning, and ready to strike. Well, that number now has exponentially increased. And the only reason I point it out is, you know, it may be the criminal aspect that we're dealing with, or in the days ahead, we may have, you know, very highly trained committed folks that are trying to destroy American society. And one of the things I really want to encourage, I know everybody on your channel believes this. I love the United States of America. Like you, I've defended it all over the world. It has its problems. It's not perfect. It's never been perfect, but it's still the greatest place on the planet. But it's quickly changing, and all of us must stand and defend our freedoms. We must defend our nation. We must exercise our rights. Because I'll be honest, I'm concerned that if we do not, if we're the silent majority, we may lose everything that generations before us have built and handed to us on a silver platter.
Well, thank you for that, because that segues perfectly into the fifth tip of the five tips for seniors and elderly for self-defense, which is that, you know, seniors, if you've been alive long enough in this society, you've earned the right to have a voice, right? We all are born with the right to have a voice, but you've seen enough, you've been around enough. If you're a good human being, you've done enough in the world, and you have ideas, you have opinions. And so the fifth tip is to speak up, get connected to other people, work in these communities like we're doing here. This is our community. This is our group of people where we're all thinking about things in a similar way, but then having the words to speak up and say, that's not right. Whether you see something, someone's being hurt, someone's being taken advantage of, and you just say something. Either you do it directly or you call for help. You let somebody else come and take care of it. But speaking up, not just in the moment, but speaking up in the, you know, city council meeting and at the school board meeting and going to listen and calling your representatives and your senators. And I know, you know, I have strong opinions about whether they're going to listen to you clearly or not, but eventually we the people who believe in this country, who love this country, and there are a lot of Marines in this community that we have here online, a lot of servicemen.
I love it.
Yeah. And whether you are or not doesn't really matter. We're all in all over the world. We're not just Americans on this channel. We have, you know, we're Irishmen who feel this way in our country. We're, you know, Englishmen who feel this way in our country. We, you know, we live in Germany. We live in Bangladesh, in India. And we feel like right is right, wrong is wrong, good and evil exist. And we want the evil to go back and hide in the corner. Right now, evil is amongst us. Evil is controlling so many things. We see things that we know on the face of it are evil. They're not right. You know, people are being taken advantage of, people are being hurt, and we have to speak up. And that's, but more importantly than that, it's as an older person, as an older American, or as an older human being from any of these other countries in the world who are paying attention to this right now, and we're all feeling the same way, that our society, whether it's an American society or a European society or a Southeast Asian society, things are falling apart. And it's intentional, feels intentional. Either we've done it to ourselves and we're reaping the whirlwind of the what we've sown, or they're, you know, the evil forces, or it's a combination. But the point is, we can't stand by and let it happen. We've got our grandkids, we've got our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. They need us. Right now, they're stuck in their phones with TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and the garbage that they're being fed in the schools, and the society is telling them, don't do anything. Don't act like a man. Don't act like a woman. Don't act like a person of faith. Don't speak up for yourself. Don't speak the right things. And so we have to. It's our job as the seniors of this society, this world global society. It's our job and our calling, our mission, to speak up and come together, and not to break anything apart and destroy things, but to build things back up and to shine the light onto the cockroaches as they scurry across the floor, and to stamp them out and stomp them with our feet when we see what's wrong. Not, you know, physically, but with the words and saying, that's not right. And it's because we haven't said anything, we've gotten so comfortable, we've allowed everybody else to do it for us. We have, you know, the power of the phone, that, you know, anything can be delivered to our house within minutes or days or hours. And so we've gotten lazy, and, you know, we all have. And it's time that we get uncomfortable and feel like, you know, if I say this, they're not going to like me, or they're not going to like it. But yeah, but it's the right thing to say. So we have to. That's the fifth tip. Self-defense against everything starts with your voice, your ability to speak up. Hey, you don't have to like me, but you can't touch me. you don't have to like me, but you can't make fun of the way I look or the way I sound or what I believe in. You know, it's my God-given right to act and be who I am. And you don't have to like me, but you can't cross this boundary. And that's self-defense, and it starts with your words. So that's my fifth tip. And if you wanted to add anything to that, you know, yeah, as a person who's been working at it for so long, and, you know, we know our peers, we know the network. I have two men who at least once a week say to me, "Hey, I love you." Right. Mm-hmm. I talked to him. One of them was the gentleman we talk about that we both love very dearly, called me last night after the incident, knew something had happened, wanted to make sure if I needed anything. And then at the end, he always says, "You know, I love you." And we know who he got that from. Right. We have and we saw a coach recently this week. But
yeah,
that and it's an intentional thing. It's an intentional thing to say to each other, "I love you," and "Thank you," and "What do you need? How can I help you?" And it's when we start to do that again. That's the only thing we have. We can stand on the street corner with our signs and complain about this or that or the other thing, or we can reach out to each other and say, "Hey, do you need anything? You know, I know you seem like you're off a little bit. You know, do you want me to pray with you? Can I come to the house? Do you need anything?" And that kind of stuff we used to do really well, and we still do in small communities. But we have to find a way, I think, to push that out and to bring more people and find each other. And, you know, we don't have to have the same philosophical beliefs and political beliefs. You know, it helps if we do, but we all have common ground. You know, for most of us, and the evil people are going to be evil, but they're going to have a harder time getting to us because the enemy puts the idea in our head. That's all he has, is putting that negative idea in the head. And if you push that, don't leave any room for that because you're connected to a good group of people, then it makes it harder for the enemy to get his way.
Yeah, boy, I agree 1,000%, man. And I think it was Ronald Reagan that said, "Freedom is one generation from being gone." And I think the test for this generation is, are we going to stand up for what our founding fathers laid out many, many years ago? Again, not perfect, but it's been pretty awesome because it's built, all the principles have built an amazing place to live where prosperity and freedom were, you know, have been traditionally allowed, you know, to flourish. But I will say this, you know, I think until all of us get really willing to say, "I'm all in, I'm willing to be a part of something bigger than myself." Matt, you and I know that from the Marine Corps, you know, it was way bigger than us. It was about freedom. It was about defending our country. And we were willing to lay down our lives knowing that that would allow our families and future generations to live in peace, you know. And yet here we are now fighting that same battle. And I would just encourage everybody on the channel. I'm reminded by Ronnie and Jeff, they've been faithful followers of mine. They've been very, very faithful to get out there and share and like. And why does that matter? Because you know what, folks? Together, unified, we are strong. But fragmented and just a few here or a few there. But if those that believe in what we're doing, if those that are willing to say, no, I'm going to, you know, hey, how hard is it to like, share, subscribe, hit notify? Hey, you guys need to be part of this because I do believe social media is an amazing place to build community. And I don't fool myself for a second, one person or 10 people or even 30 or 100 or 1,000, you know, we're going to make a difference, but it's going to be a small difference. But when you start getting hundreds of thousands of Americans, millions of Americans that begin to go, no, wait a minute, we're unified. We're part of this effort. We're not going to sit back and say that we're going to be victims anymore. As a matter of fact, we're going to transition from being victims to being victors. We're going to put in our minds that we're going to erase some of the political correctness and start doing what is right. Because folks, I think, you know, 50 years from now, the next generation is going to look back at ours and say, "What did you do in the war, Daddy?" Remember that? We used to ask that about World War II veterans. "What did you do in the war, Daddy?" Well, now the war's now and the war's here. So I hope and pray for everybody that's listening that this becomes a passion. I know you got a great group. I got a great group.
And I'll just, you know, add again, it's global. I mean, it's more the sentiment, the idea that we have God-given rights of certain freedoms freedom for self-defense, freedom to love, freedom to be kind, freedom to live our lives, freedom to say what we believe. Those beliefs exist in every country in the world. You might have that's a government right. that's taken away those rights, but God never took away those rights. Those rights that's are still right. there.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about community, you know, it's global. It's a global community, and there's more of us than there are of them. And I that's guarantee right. you, there's that's so right. many more of us. And the that's only right. reason that they have power is because they, you know, they we allowed them to have it. We dropped the right. ball. We weren't paying attention. We got fat and lazy. And now it's time to do a couple sit-ups and, you know, do some deep squat thrusts and a couple of push-ups every right. And pay the price. It took us a while to get in this position. We're going to have, it's going to take us a while to dig out from the hole, but amen. Know that we are surrounded around the world with great men and women who believe like we do. And there are more of us than there are of them. And it's going to be like you, I think you said, we said this privately, that we're going to have to go through some stuff first, though. It's going to that's be, right. it's going to be pretty hairy. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be a vicious fight. And we're all going to be called on to fight in one way or the other. And so whether you're preparing for a spiritual fight or a physical fight, better to prepare than perish, right? If you prepare, you don't have to panic. And I think that that's, you know, so I want to do more of these with you. I put your link in the description below. At Lionheart Skills. I think that's correct, right?
That's right.
And yes, I love if people go and follow you and start to see the content that you're putting out because it's so closely aligned with what we're doing. It's not just aligned, it complements what I'm doing and adds right. to it like by 1,000%. So, you know, mine is very small little niche. You have a very deep understanding of what we need to do in the world to stay safe today. And that's why I encourage all the people who follow me to go, you know, take a look at what you're doing.
Thank you, brother.
And when they and see value versa. There, yeah, to follow yeah. you too. So,
yeah,
but we'll do this again. I have some ideas coming up to kind of expand our conversation and yeah. pour more into this community. So the more we can pour into this community, then the more it, you know, strengthens all of us. And I appreciate thank everybody much. Who's been in the chat. I've seen all you guys in there and, thank you so much for being there. I know a lot of times I get to acknowledge you while we're doing the training. I just wanted to stay focused because of my attention deficit or whatever it's supposed to be. I get all over the place and I went distracted, but I do appreciate you all so much for being here. And please share this with others if you can. That's another big part of it. I know Tim said to share it, but the more you share, the faster we grow as a community, the more we all get to see that we're not alone and there are more of us than there are of them.
Amen. Amen. Right. I totally so stay agree, safe. Brother. Thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you. And we'll talk again soon.
Sounds great.
Oh, real quick, I just wanted to recap the five tips for self-defense. Number one, situation awareness. Number two, personal fitness. Number three, tools. I'm reading off my cheat sheet. And the principles of self-defense. Number four, number five, speak up, get involved, create a sense of community. Those are the five tips for self-defense for seniors and the elderly. And we'll do this one again later. Maybe we'll go deeper into certain techniques. And I'd love for people, Tim has a course coming up where you can learn how to use all of the guns. If you conceal carry, and I know from personal experience, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in the last year who have had CCW permits down here because we don't need them anymore. We're now constitutional carry in Florida, but came to me and said, I have a gun that I bought to protect myself and my family. I don't feel comfortable carrying it because I only shot one piece, you know, piece of paper once, put a hole in a piece of paper and got my license. So could you teach me? And I'm like, yeah, let's meet at the range. So I have people that informally I'm taking and showing them how to shoot. And I know that the more people who get the training, they'll feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
You're not going to carry it if you don't feel comfortable for some people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, on the other side of that, there are a lot of guys who shouldn't have it who are carrying it. You got to watch out for them too. But that's if you have one, or if you're interested in it, get good training. Tim offers some of the best training and his information is on his channel at Lionheart Skills.
Yeah. And if I could just piggyback real quick, you know, investing in training is something that will benefit you the rest of your life, whether it's good physical skills training like Matt's teaching or firearms training, because if you don't have the right training when you're under pressure, and we've talked about this all the time throughout the podcast, then the ability to respond is going to be greatly diminished. So whether it's me or anywhere else, our website is Lionheart Security Team. events.com. If you just jump on there and go to the events page, the only reason I say that is, folks, we need skilled people today. We need people that have invested in the training, invested in the preparation. So great takeaway, Matt. Thank you for all you do. I'm sending everybody I know to you.
And, clarification, you have a couple of YouTube channels. Which one is it that
I see the most? Skills.
At Lionheart Skills. Okay.
Yeah, that's the YouTube channel. The website is lionheartsecurityteam.com. But if you go there, you'll get to us either way. But the events page, you'll see all the firearms training. We actually, in this next one, are teaching not just firearms, but combat medical, you know, care, because you
extremely important
yourself, you know, in the middle of that. And then I'll do some simulator training. We have a real high-tech simulator that puts you into the middle of a crisis, and now you got to figure it out. And that kind of training is incredible. So thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you guys in a little bit.
God bless, guys.
Thank you.